welcome to episode 133 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, it's Brutal Battle. Carlin, Dan, Kim, and we're feeling some beers.
Yeah, it's we've had a good night.
Yeah, that's what happens. The Dark Star from Fremont is what kind of hit the tipping point, you could say. That's what did it. But I'm glad that was the one to do it. And I was thinking about it, and it's moments like that that make me extremely, extremely glad that I do this podcast, because that was a really good beer, and there's no other way I would have tasted it.
And for a beer that big, it actually got better and better as it drank.
Yeah.
And
oh man.
And which hasn't always been my experiences with
big beers,
with big stouts like that.
Oh, I hear you. But anyway, enough of that. This is a new episode, and there will be new mystery beers. There definitely will. But anyway, we got to start it off right. We started off with hop knowledge. And today we have the Supersterian hop. We've been doing the supers, so.
Right. You're going to run out of alphabet in a little while.
I know. I mean, eventually. But we still got some. We still got it. I'll worry about it when we're done. Supersterian hops. Bred in the 70s at the Hop Research Institute in Zalek, Yugoslavia, which now resides in Slovenia. Okay. Supersterian is a diploid variety as a cross between Northern Brewer and a Yugoslavian wild male. Although Supersterian shares the spotlight as one of two primary varieties grown in Slovenia along with Styrian Golding, it is not actually derived from the same variety, although it is likened by its similar aromatic qualities. It's a dual-use hop with low to moderate alpha acids. The range is 5.5 to 9.5%. Alpha content is nearly double that of Styrian Golding hops. The aroma, which is driven by very well-balanced essential oils, including farnesene, has a spicy yet pleasant hoppiness to it. Okay, sounds good. Supersterian is going to make a good hop from beginning to end of the brewing process and is commonly mixed with other varieties. Supersterian develops deep, dark green cones that are medium-sized and compact. The hop also produces approximately 25% more yield than its Slovenian counterpart, ranging from 1,424 to 1,958 pounds per acre. Most commonly substituted with Styrian Golding itself. So there you go. Two examples of beers that use the Supersterian are Fuller's Brewery's Vintage Ale, as well as Terrapin Beer Company's Maggie's Farmhouse Ale.
I've had Maggie's Farmhouse
Ale. That's with peaches, I believe.
Right.
And yeah, that's a good beer.
Yeah, it's not
I'm
bad.
A fan.
It's okay.
People may be happy to know that the next episode, Hop Knowledge, will not be about a super hop.
Oh.
The supers are done. It was just for you, Dan.
way to tease it out.
The supers were just for you because you're a super person.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I was bitten by a radioactive animal at some point, yes.
Actually, that makes me wonder what radioactive animal people would want to be bitten by.
Oh, this is similar to, like, what's your spirit animal, but what's your radioactive
what's your
animal?
Radioactive animal that made you a superhero? What would you want? I don't know. A cat, maybe. I just love cats. Squirrel. Squirrel's a good one, too, though.
Right. I'd probably get something shitty like an opossum or something.
Opossum. Nice. I like that you say the O in it, too, because a lot of people don't. People just like opossum.
Well, I think opossum. you say opossum when you're talking about the animal, but when you're talking about dinner, then you have to say possum.
Oh, really? Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. All right, so we have a topic for this, and we're still sipping on that Fortuna, that sour aged tequila barrels with lime zest and salt by Avery Brewing. Still sipping on that, tasting good.
It tastes good. It's I've gotten past the sour, and it's the huge puckering sour. It's still sour, obviously. Still have not gotten one hint of tequila, but it's still good.
I still got a lot of the pencil shaving aspect of it, but it's good. Anyway. Our topic for today, it's about something that went through Kickstarter. It's something called Brew Bracket. Mm-hmm. And I will tell people what it is, and then I will let Dan give his opinion, and then I will give my opinion on this. And you'll understand probably why. So Brew Bracket, and you can check it out at brewbracket.com, is kind of what it sounds like. It's a, you can purchase a kit to host a beer tournament. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So basically what we do on this show, every decasode, what we did recently, but there's a kit for it, so it'll like guide you through how to do it. So this is what you would get in your brew bracket kit. For $35, you get 16 tasting glasses, which are plastic. They're not like full glasses. They're like shot glass size, maybe a tad bit larger. You get two pitchers, which are not pitchers, but they're like small beakers, basically, and they do have measurements.
Again, probably plastic, yeah.
Yes, no, they are. 25 voting brackets, okay? Basically...
paper.
You could do this yourself by just drawing lines on paper.
Stop giving away your opinion.
Eight voting cards. Also, you could just write on paper with a writing implement. Eight pencils. You could go golfing and steal the small pencils from the golf course. Five host brackets. I don't even know what the hell that means. And one host guide.
It's probably the host bracket. The host bracket is probably like a big board for everyone to see. Like, you have your own individual board.
No. There is nothing big about this. Everything fits into a shoebox size. So there's nothing big. My guess is maybe it's like numbered brackets for people, so it's like blind. But the host knows what it is, so they have one that has more room.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So yeah. Their lines are larger, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guide, I guess, to tell you how to host it. So Dan, what's your thought on this?
Well, I think you can glean from tone of voice that that Carlin thinks this is stupid.
I think it's dumb as shit. To say the least.
Hey, you said you were going to go second.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Then I'll jump in.
I mostly agree with you that this is unnecessary. Like, this is an unnecessary product that
yes.
everyone can just do by themselves with 2 minutes of forethought.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know what? They sell Pictionary board games.
That's true.
And Pictionary...
You can do that yourself.
You can do that yourself. You know, they sell, I once bought a card game called Rook or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based on a game that you can play with a 52 card deck. And I felt really ripped off when I figured that out, you know?
There are people who pay for things that they could just easily make themselves.
They like, you know, it looks quasi official, you know, and a lot of people don't want to put like the effort into it, and they'd rather just buy the thing. You know, would I pay $35? Hell no. If it was $12, I might.
I will say that I don't think $35 is like exorbitant. I just think it's the principle of the thing. It's like,
oh, so you have a philosophical objection to this.
Yeah. Well, it's mainly, and maybe this is unfair, but it's mainly because of what we do on the show.
Right.
You know, the fact that if anyone just listens to this show, you can just figure out how to do it yourself. Like, it's really not that hard.
Right.
You can purchase plastic cups. You have paper and writing instruments, I'm sure. You can tell people to just bring beers, and, you know, it's not hard.
You know, I wonder, when did they think of this idea, and did they think of the idea after the birth of this podcast? Because then it raises the possibility that they directly ripped your idea off of Carl.
No, they didn't, because there's stuff on the website that's saying that they had actually been hosting blind beer brackets tournaments for years. Like, I think going back to, like, 2011 or something, even before that. But it's listed somewhere on their website where they talk about, like, how big they were. Like, they hosted one that was, like, 400-some people, which is crazy. Like, that's cool. I think that's cool. I think that's interesting, like, hosting a massive one. But when you're selling things like this, like, I just think it's stupid, but... but at the same time, if people are willing to purchase it, then they're the stupid ones and you're making the money. You know what I mean?
So when you're playing in this tournament for a beer bracket, what is it, 16 beers?
It's 8.
It's 8 beers?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's an 8-beer tournament, so like you don't even need to draw that many lines if you're gonna do it yourself. You know what I mean? Like, it's minimal effort to do an 8-beer tournament.
Yeah, so
it is like no effort almost. Right.
So like I said, this is stupid and unnecessary, but you know,
I kind of feel like if you purchase this and you're not friends with the people who made it, you should punch yourself in the face, because that's stupid. It's just stupid. But, I mean, good for them for making money on it, for finding people who are dumb enough to buy it. Because, you know, if you see a way to make money, I understand you're going to make money. But why are you people buying this? Like, why? It doesn't make any sense. And it was kickstarted. It was a Kickstarter campaign originally, and it raised its goal with 144 backers, which I guess really in the grand scheme is not that many people. It could have just all been people they knew. But they made $10,260 in American money.
Right.
There's no exchange that we need to figure out there. But am I doing... Maybe I'm doing something wrong with this podcast. I could be making money.
There's a product out there that's just salt and pepper that's in one container.
That's true.
You know,
or peanut butter and jelly in one container. They have that too.
There's
lazy people.
There's lots of things out there, Carlin, that are just unnecessarily and stupid.
Yeah, that's true.
In just like in the exact same way that this is stupid.
Yeah, like I can tell you right now how to make your own Snuggie. You take a blanket and you cut friggin' holes in it for your arms.
Right. We live in a free market, unless Bernie Sanders gets elected anytime soon, we're going to continue to live in a free market. So,
yeah, well, I don't know if you can tell, but this just kind of like gets me just because.
Yeah, but that's because you host this podcast.
Yes, and that's true, and that's why I feel like I'm okay to like rail against.
And honestly, it's more analogous to your decasodes than it is to your regular ones.
Uh-huh. But let me say that people, you can just listen to the decasodes and figure out how to do it on your own. It's really not that hard. Do not pay $35 for a brew bracket.
Right.
Well, instead, just give me $35.
No, buy $35 worth of beer and then send it to Carlin.
Yeah, okay, yes, we like that. And you can shoot me an email, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com.
Right, he likes Milwaukee's best. No. He likes
none of whatever Dan's going to say.
Magnum.
Oh, God. Mount Mickey's. Everest 42.
Mickey's is a classic.
Only the grenades. Only the grenades by Mickey's. No. Ugh, that's so bad. But I don't know. I mean, I guess in the end, good job, Brew Bracket guys, because you made money. I mean, I do, like I said before, I was impressed with the fact that they put on, like, large tournaments, like 400 some people. Like, that's cool. Like, that's fun and that's cool. Like, maybe you do that and you just charge admission, don't sell the I don't know. I just feel like you're making yourself look kind of cheap, and like you're taking advantage of people, of stupid people, by right. selling those kits.
Well, in a lot of ways, Kickstarter has created this Kickstarter and its you know, counterparts, which I can't remember right now,
Indiegogo.
Yeah, there you go.
And there might be other ones, I don't know.
They've kind of created like little, like mini economies.
That's true.
Like in certain areas, you know, whether it be the one that comes to mind is like they've totally changed the board game economy. They've totally
that's true.
You know, there's
because they get all the money up front now for making right. new like expansions for board games and
right.
card games and they're all that.
Basically,
so.
they've turned developers into publishers or whatever.
Well, I talked about it on an episode, but Stone Brewing did a Kickstarter for their brewery that they're going to build in Berlin, Germany.
Right,
and they made the money. So yeah,
right. So it's all these. It's basically any niche thing that's customered by nerds is what Kickstarter is going for.
I should start a Kickstarter for our next decasode and just be like, I'm going to do a 12 beer bracket blind and I need money for it. So let's kickstart that. And then you can listen to it.
Do you remember like a year?
But it's free.
It was like a year or a year and a half ago where a guy made a Kickstarter for making potato salad, and he
and
he got like $50,000 or something.
Yeah, he started a company. Yeah, he had. I don't remember what it's called, but that guy has like an actual company now, I believe.
Which does what?
Makes potato salad. Yes. He made. His dream came true, I guess. He's making potato salad.
He never dreamed of it.
He quit whatever job he had and is making potato salad.
He was probably
if
working
he had
at
a job, I don't know.
He was probably working at a Blockbuster Video that was going defunct.
Blockbuster. I kind of miss Blockbusters. And just for the reason of, like, just looking at all the DVDs. Instead of having to, like, build a queue to get a DVD out, you know what I mean? And then what DVD is going to be available that I'm going to be sent? Said you could go somewhere and be like, oh, that's what's in front of my face. I can watch that in, like, minutes.
Wait, you're trying to argue that going to Blockbuster is less work than filling your Netflix queue?
No, it's
is
not.
Is that what you're arguing?
No. It's not less work. It's less, it's more satisfying. For my immediate viewing needs, is what I'm saying. And you know what's satisfying for my immediate beer needs? Mystery beers.
Well,
is that a good segue?
It is a good segue. Can I tell a 45-second story?
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
So when I was like in middle school, like the only time I ever watched a James Bond movie was on
TV. First of all, F you, because you should watch every James Bond movie because they're amazing.
In the theaters?
Not in the theater. Just
right.
On
but
DVD.
I had only watched them on TV.
Oh, okay. No, that's fine. Okay.
So I was convinced that there was all of these naked chicks that were only being censored by television. So I went to like Blockbuster and like rented, you know, this is like pre-internet, all right? So I was in middle school, so boobs were in short supply.
Yeah. And literally.
And so I was like, I remember renting James Bond movie and being sorely disappointed that there were not like much more explicit boobs in more than what I was seeing on TV.
Oh, so it was silhouettes.
Remember those that had that like small, like, well, not a Blockbuster, but in your seedier video places, they had like these, that little curtained off corner.
I'll tell a quick story about that. There was one called like Village Video or I don't think it was called that. It was like some like small mom and pop shop. It was VHS. This is back when it was VHS.
Right.
And they did have one of those like small rooms. And one time when I was there with my parents, I remember I like was alone for enough time to just like peek in real quick. And I'm not kidding when I say I got in there. I saw that it's like all these like video cases of like nudity, and I went blind. Like, I couldn't see. Like, you know, like, the overload of nudity, like, made it so I couldn't see. And I'm just like, oh my god. I'm like, quick, make my vision come back. Because, first of all, I want to see the nudity real fast and then get out of here so I don't get caught.
God, can we continue on this stupid thing?
Yeah, go ahead. It's off the rails at this point. It's fine. We'll get to the mystery beers. We will.
So, a bunch of my friends and I had ordered this pizza, and this pizza was like 5 feet in diameter. It was like this ridiculous thing. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but only slightly. But next door to it was this like sex shop that sold like videos and toys and lingerie and whatever. So we were just waiting for it. So we're bored. Let's go. And more than half of the group were female. So it's
not sexist.
Right. So it's not sexist or as creepy as whatever. So we're going in there, me and my whatever. And it had been years, like maybe even a decade since I'd been in a place like that. And it's just like, after 2 minutes, it stops even being sexy. It's not sexy. It's sexual, but it is not remotely sexy at all.
Just makes you feel bad. Feel wrong.
Yeah, you're just kind of sad for the state of humanity after a couple minutes.
No, I'm not. It's all right.
No, yeah.
Whatever. It's whatever. But anyway. Good topic. Thanks for the stories. I appreciate that. Now, listeners probably know a lot more than they wanted to know about us.
The pizza was good.
Okay, well, I'm glad. Well, I want to know if these beers are good, by the way. That's another good segue right there.
Oh, maybe they're pizza flavored.
All right, so A and B, once again, pretty different in coloration. A's very orange.
Orange.
Yeah. It's a little haze to it, but I can see through it.
Mostly clear.
Yeah. A little haziness there, but it's got a little bit of a white head to it sticking around. And then B is pretty dark, not nearly as dark as last episode's Dark Star. Got a white head, but if I swirl it up, it's a little tan.
Mm-hmm. It lightens up on the edges. It's more, it's black in the middle, but brown on the edges.
Yeah, a little reddish brown. Okay. Well, I'm interested in smelling I just burped and it like tasted like hot dogs, which is weird because I didn't eat any hot dogs today. That's just odd. Anyway. There's a lot of honey in the nose for A. There's a little bit of a pine aspect to it. It's very malty smelling.
Yeah, I'm actually trying. It's not that
robust.
It's not that sniferonious.
Sniferonious? I've not heard that one before, but. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of honey. There's a lot of pine, and it's like malty, malty, malty. There's a little bit of a, you know, and when I say it smells like honey, it smells like raw honey. You know what I mean? There's a difference between like the refined honey and the raw honey. The raw honey is a little earthy, and a little bit of like the wax characteristic in there as well.
I get a little bit of like wheat bread.
Okay, yeah, it's biscuity, bready type nose on there. I don't like the way it smells, really.
Honestly, it smells like nothing. I'm trying. It's very hard to pull.
It's a little neutral-ish, but we'll try and see what happens. What do you got? Doesn't taste like much.
Yeah, it is. It's mild in flavor. I'm getting
malty.
A little apple juice.
Okay, it's a little apple-y in there. I'm getting some of those piney type notes. It's earthy. It's got like an earthy, dirty, dirt type quality to it.
Yeah, it's like it's bark. Watery.
Yeah, it's definitely watery.
Yeah,
it's honey. I get that raw honey aspect that I was getting in the nose.
Honestly, it's. I mean, I recognize that it's beer, but it's
hey, that's beer. It's giving me a little bit of a tea quality as I continue to sip it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little bit of like a type of tea, do I want to say? Like an herbal tea.
Right. I mean, I taste like kind of bittering hops,
mm-hmm.
like at the end of it.
Like Earl Grey. There's like some Earl Grey tea aspect in that. Have you ever had Earl Grey tea?
I do. It's yeah. You know, it's Picard's drink.
Yeah.
Just to out myself as
yeah, no.
as the biggest nerd possible.
But I don't like Star Trek, so
how dare you.
You may never be allowed back on the show after dropping. Actually, I like Patrick Stewart though. I respect the guy. he's a good guy. Just Star Trek sucks. And I love Will Wheaton too, who's in Star Trek, so he's a super awesome nerd. Anyway. Right. I don't like A. I don't really like this.
No, it's. I mean, it's not.
It's bad. Not bad, right? It's not bad.
It just tastes. It tastes. It's.
Do I want to drink it at any point? No.
I have literally almost no opinion of this.
Right. It's so neutral. It tastes like sticks. Like it tastes. It tastes like
the band.
No. No, but that reveals a lot about you, I think. But it literally tastes like sticks, like bark, like it's so earthy, it's so like foresty, if that's a word. Like I said, like Earl Grey tea, which is very much like that. So
yeah, I mean
it's not bad, like you said, it's not bad, but do I want it? No, I don't want this. Would I drink it over something like Budweiser or something? Yes.
You're right. I am tasting that tea quality you're talking about.
It's very tea-like.
Yeah, so it's like they mixed tea with like Bud Heavy.
And it's actually got some mineral type qualities to it too. Like maybe they threw some rocks in there as well.
Yeah.
Some sticks and rocks, and it's a tree hugger's ale, you know? You know?
I'm not going to touch that.
All right. Anyway.
Let's move on to something slightly more interesting.
Well, hopefully. We don't know for sure. So we're going to go with B, the one that was significantly darker. See if we can smell on this. Oh. There is a...
Coffee?
What? Cinnamon? I smell a little cinnamon.
What is the smell?
There is something... Oh my god.
Rubber.
It smells like almond milk. Okay.
You make fun of me for being a hippie sometimes, but in practice, you are a much bigger hippie than me.
Okay, maybe. Maybe you're right on that, but not like a vegan or anything. There is coffee. There's a coffee aspect, but it's like young green coffee, and there is a banana-y note for whatever reason in there.
Yeah, surprising considering it's black.
And it smells a little bit like almond milk. And there is a lactic type quality in the nose as well, a little creamy, which would go along with almond milk, because, you know, right. the milk aspect.
What about lactose?
Yeah, that's what I mean by lactic. No, lactose.
No, lactic and lactose are two different things.
Enlighten me.
Lactose as in dairy, and lactic as in, like, you know, anaerobic acid.
Lactose is what I mean.
Okay.
Yes. You got me. Yeah, I keep getting a lot of, like, banana aspect, too.
I'm getting,
Smells interesting.
Yeah.
There's a roastiness starting to come through as well. Like, a pretty decent roastiness. I'm jumping in.
It tastes way better than it smells.
Yeah, I agree with that. I get more of that coffee aspect in there. I get some chocolatey, like a little bit of a milk chocolatey aspect. Yeah. Lactose aspect.
Yeah, it tastes like a porter. It's got like a roastiness that's more prominent in the taste than the smell.
Yeah. Yeah, the roastiness is coming through more. There's a little bit of like a leathery aspect in the flavor as well.
And there's a green coffee note.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And the banana aspects, I think, are there in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Almond milk. I'm still getting aspect of that almond milk.
I'm trying to remember what almond milk is. I've tested almond milk before. Like,
what do you mean by tested it?
Like, I bought it to see if I liked it, and I decided didn't.
All right. I know what that means. I think this beer's pretty good. I enjoy this. Yeah. I'm not blown away by it, but it's pretty solid. I mean, especially in comparison to A.
I'd finish that out of principle, but I wouldn't like that I was doing it.
You would hate yourself for doing it.
I wouldn't hate myself. I'd resent myself.
I'm starting to pick up a little bit of a vanilla. There's a vanilla aspect in there as well. I think that's part of what I was getting in that almond milk. Almond milk to me has very vanilla tones to it, and it's vanilla-y.
Right. And this, there's almost no sweetness to it at all. I mean, like, maybe at the tail end.
A tad bit.
Right. But even this, it tastes a little, it's just slightly watery, too. I mean, it's pretty thin-bodied, and it's...
You know, yeah, I agree with you on that, but I'm okay with it. Because I feel like the flavors coming through are okay with that body. You know what I mean? I don't feel like the flavors that are in there would benefit greatly from a thicker body.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's fine. It's not like crazy awesome, but I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me want to jump back to A real fast. I mean, A's not bad. It's not bad.
I mean, neither of these are bad. But neither of them are good to me either.
Or sticks. It tastes like sticks. Sticks and rocks.
Come sail away. Come sail away.
Yeah, exactly. Am I feeling generous? Am I feeling not generous?
Well, honestly, I was thinking about giving... I have a preference, but I want to give these two the same score. Like...
Okay. What do you want to do? Go ahead and tell me. I'm down for whatever you're throwing at me. Let's go.
I will say... I prefer A...
To B.
To B.
Really? Okay.
But I give them both a two.
Somehow that doesn't make sense. It makes sense and it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? You know, as I keep drinking B, I'm liking some of those notes more and more and more.
Now, to me, that lactic quality, I don't know. There's some sort of... I get, like, some sort of, like, a slight bit of, like, spoiled milk in there.
Oh, I know. I don't get spoiled milk, but... I don't know. I get more of a vanilla note as I keep drinking
Maybe it's part of that green coffee note. It's just... I'm not feeling it. And okay. A is at least neutral to me. And there's just, like, something slightly offensive. Very slightly. It's not offensive, but it's just slightly below average to me and B. And so I'm going to... But, again, I'm getting both a two.
Okay. Well, I'm going to agree with you on A and give it a two. I'm going to give a three to B.
Okay.
I think B warrants a three, in my opinion. I think it's not bad. Okay, so obviously B is the winner with an overall 2.5, and A is the loser with an overall 2, blah, blah, blah. So, A, the loser of the episode, overall 2, is the men's room. Was it brewed in a urinal? I don't know. No, it's by Elysian Brewing's, it's by Elysian Brewing, and it's a red ale. I mean, which makes sense. I mean, red ales are red ales. 5.6% alcohol by volume. Brewed for the Men's Room radio show on 99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Nice. Men's Room Red is amber in color with a light hop aroma and toasty malt finish.
Okay. What? I was like, what?
That's so random.
What brewery has such a deep and strong affiliation with a radio station?
I don't know. That's really interesting. But that gives me an idea. A brewery should brew a beer for Brutal Battle Podcast. Boom. Brutal Ale. There it is.
Or they could brew a beer for a bathroom and get something close to this.
Or brew it in a bathroom. I don't know.
Oh yeah, like Prohibition style these alcohol.
Bathrooms?
Yeah, no, these. Well, no, those stories where people used to make hooch in their bathtub.
Mm-hmm. That's a bathroom, technically. Okay, well, let's see what B is. The winner of the episode with an overall of 2.5 is I don't even know what this is. Hudson Valley's Brewery is who it's by. Keegan Ale's Mother's Milk. I don't know. I assume it's a milk stout. It says stout. That's all it says. It doesn't say milk stout or anything.
Maybe it's made with stout. 100% Cambodian breast milk.
Is that from a movie?
That's from Dave Chappelle.
Oh, that's right. Dave Chappelle. That's right. Better than a movie. Chappelle was great. There's no ABV on it. This is...
Does it even say what style it is?
It just says stout. I'm assuming it's a milk stout because it's called Mother's Milk, but... it's a stout, so that's fine. But Keegan Ales is out of Kingston, New York. This must be new. I've never seen any of their stuff before. I've never even heard of these people. But I don't understand why it's Keegan Ales, but it says the Hudson Valley's Brewery. Oh, maybe they're in Hudson Valley.
Look, my wife...
Okay, this label's confusing.
I'm the husband... I'm the father of three young, very young children.
I'm glad you clarified that instead of saying the husband of three young children.
Yes, thank you.
Because that's not
I'm legal. The father of three very young children. I'm familiar with Mother's Milk. This is not as good as Mother's Milk.
I don't know how I'm supposed to take that, to be honest.
I'm
supposed to do with that.
I'm just saying, I would not buy this at the store after paying chasing this.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's not bad. There are some good notes in there, but I mean, it's okay. There are so many more beers that I would rather have than this.
Yeah,
I give like it, that friggin' Dark Star. I give it Fremont.
It gets a C minus. It's like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, I'm gonna drink this Fortuna instead.
Yeah, actually, the Fortuna is the best thing on the table right now, hands down.
Right now.
Good job, Avery. You beat the mystery beers. You weren't even trying. Like, you weren't even in the competition, and you won.
But on the bright side, good company.
Yeah, exactly.
Drinking beers on a weekend.
Well, it's a Friday night for us at this point. I don't know. I'm feeling the beers. Like, the Dark Star from last episode just kind of got me where I was going. You know what I mean? And it's been tough. In the best way possible, it's been tough.
Right. And and you're going to watch a Caps game later?
Yeah, I'm going to watch some hockey. And I'm going to finish the Dark Star while I'm watching some hockey. Two great things. So anyway. Dan, I really appreciate you coming on. It's been a lot of fun. It's been too long since you've been on.
I know. I was trying to. Has it been a year?
No, I don't think it's been a year. But so, well, it's been a while.
So I definitely haven't recorded since my latest child was born, and he's now 7 months old.
Well, maybe it has been close to a year. Maybe it's been a year or
I think we tried to put one in before. So I think it's been like 8 months.
Yeah.
Maybe 8-9 months.
But yeah. Yeah, no.
If we were less lazy, we would actually do the math, but we're too lazy for that.
My mind wouldn't handle the math right now.
All
right.
So we're boring people. But thank you, Carlin, for having me over.
Yeah, no. Well, that's 4 episodes in a row for you because of the tournament.
Yeah, so. The tournament was fun. I had a great time.
When we're recording this, literally, like, it's before we recorded the tournament. We're recording these episodes before the tournament.
Quit breaking fourth wall,
I know, Carlin. Everyone says that to me, but Jordan said that too when he was on, and I don't care. I'd rather just be upfront and honest. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but Jordan's like a, you know.
He does radio type
yeah, thing. But he's the type of nerd who would make a fourth wall joke. And I
didn't even make a joke. He just says, don't break it. That's all. But anyway, yeah, no. But anyway, don't buy Brew Bracket stuff, people. Just don't. Like, that's what you should take from this episode, to be honest. Just don't buy the Brew Bracket kit. Just listen to this. Model your tournaments. And I encourage people to do these blind tasting tournaments. They are a lot of fun. But model it after what we do. You can do it for free. You have the resources around your house.
I'm going to go the opposite way and say...
don't tell people to buy it.
No. Okay, good. What you should be doing is you should be, like, fleshing out products that for things that everyone else can just do by themselves. So okay. I want you to make a board game for rock, paper, scissors.
Nice.
Or make a kit for tic-tac-toe.
Okay.
That
sounds good.
You know, just anything like that. Anything that you can just do for free by yourself.
Okay.
I want you to make a kit that you can sell to people to do the exact same thing.
Well, maybe someone can come up with a kit to put on Kickstarter for wiping your ass. Because apparently people can't even do that if they're buying these Brew Bracket kits.
Have you ever seen, like, toilet paper that has, like, people's faces on them that you hate?
No, so, but I like the idea of that.
Yeah. So you could, yeah, you would just have like people of the opposite political affiliation from there or what for
well,
like.
Well, or, for you, they could just have the name of AB InBev and you could wipe your ass with that.
I don't like AB InBev.
No, you don't. Just from I can tell you don't.
From a philosophical standpoint, I don't like
that. Yeah, okay, philosophically. But in theory, you would buy Bourbon County and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. There you go.
I'm just saying macro lagers from that specific company, don't buy that.
Okay. I agree with that. But anyway, we've gone on too long. Thank you everyone for listening to our mindless drivel. Thanks, Dan, for being on. It's always a pleasure. And everyone, thank you so much, and keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.